Blog Talk Radio.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Yo, Yah come in the volume of the book. His word is light, so we got the killers shook. Wisdom was in the chief places from the beginning, to enlighten the sons of men. But the fighting among twins ushered in sin, and brothers been beefing ever since. Yah come in the volume of the book by the truth and sell it not. So we got these robbers out here shook. Understanding is departing from evil. He flooded the earth once, and there'll be no sequel. But the fire next time. That's why I'm the messenger refining the fire of affliction, opening your eyes to the foolish ways and the devil's contradiction. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim.
I praise Yah, summer and winter season, and dismiss the statues withheld by these heathens. Yah, give me the reason to call them out on your misleading and treasons. A man's heart that was given to these beastlings. No, we're not even back to seeking the heart of Yah. Seven is what he requires for the draw silver to be polished by fire. Constantly led by my Elohim, who visits messages through visions over dreams. Slaves that were formerly a king will one day rise and seek the purpose of their being. The feeling is serene that Israel is the prince who has power with Elohim and man. And no longer do we advance to realize the reaches of the stars upon the shoulder of a promotion coming by Yah, who can take it thus far. Yitzhomayah died, Yasalah to the Almighty Yah.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim.
Singing to Allah, to Maya, to Maya.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Ishah Yisrael, from the house of Israel, located at 2330 Kemper Lane, here to bring you nothing but the truth. We'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our program, for we know the only reason you have tuned into our program is because of your great love and fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel in the world. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you his words of truth, and that's what we will do. And today, this evening, we're going to bring you the word of Yah. So you might as well go and get your notepads, and your pens. Call your pastors and your imams and your rabbis and let them know that there are some words of truth that will be spoken and that you might have some questions. Because what we're going to teach you today is what you will not hear in the mosque, what you will not hear in the churches, what you will not hear in the synagogues, and what you will not hear in your camps, your knessets, or in your sanctuaries. But what we'll teach you today is what you will hear from the word of Yahweh. And we've been dealing with the end times, the time of the end, Yah's judgments in these times. Today we're going to deal with the time of judgment. For in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, verse 5 reads, "Whoever keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be?" Yet the misery of man is great because he doesn't know or discern time and judgment. But if you keep the commandment, there's no evil thing, because you will understand and discern time and judgment. And this is a time of judgment. And let me show you what the scriptures is talking about. In the book of Genesis, in the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, it reads, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yahweh said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. So Noah, out of all these people in the world, found grace in Yah's eyes. Was Noah the only one that discerned time and judgment? Well, obviously he had to be, because the scriptures says, whoso keeps the commandment will feel no evil thing. And following Yahweh discovering Noah, Noah did not experience the evil that Yahweh brought upon the world. Noah was saved with his family from the evil destruction that Yahweh brought on the earth. And even in learning about Noah is when you even see the first scripture discussing time in a manner of where we see months being recorded and recognized in Genesis, the 7th chapter. We'll start at the first verse. And Yahweh said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for you have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, and the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon all the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, this is time. This is time. So this couldn't be some of the people that think the moon dictates when the week begins. So you couldn't be these people. Noah definitely was not following the moon to dictate when his week or his month began. Yahweh said, yet in 7 days, meaning in another 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. So you couldn't be these people that think that the moon dictates when the Sabbath is. See, they would be like, okay, well, I guess that means 7 days after the moon comes. Yahweh didn't say anything about the moon. He said 7 days. Yet will I cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. How many days and nights? 40 days, 40 nights. See, that's time. You couldn't be one of the people that believe a day begins at night, because then you wouldn't know when he starts raining upon the earth. You would be waiting for the rain to come the night or the night after it came, saying Yahweh started too early or Yahweh started too late. Yahweh said he was going to do this 40 days and 40 nights. And some people believe that a day is this 24-hour period that begins in the evening, and that there is no difference between a day begins and when a night begins. So you couldn't, Noah definitely didn't think that a day started at night, nor did he think that a night started at the day. Because Yahweh didn't have to explain to him, I mean, the night when you start keeping the daytime. He didn't have to talk like that, how we have to talk today to some of our people. No, he new time and judgment. Yahweh was explaining to Noah his judgment that he's bringing upon the earth. And you see, Noah didn't argue with the Creator. Noah didn't talk back. Noah didn't ask why. Noah didn't say, well, please, no. Noah just did what Yahweh said. Because Noah was a wise man, and he was able to discern time and judgment. And Yahweh didn't have to give him a crash course in when the day begins and when the night begins and when the 7 days follow and if it means you got to deal with the moon or not. He knew about this time. 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that Yahweh commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creeps upon the earth. There went two by two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as Elohim commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Meaning, Noah was in the ark 7 days before the flood happened. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, when? In the 600th year of Noah's life, meaning he was 600 years old. So this is the 600th year of Noah's life in the second month, meaning this ain't 601 or 602. This is year 600 of Noah's life in the second month of the year. So you see, you got to have a whole 600 before you go to 601. You got to have that. This is in the 600th year of Noah's life, as it read. He was 600 years old. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. See, this is the first time you'll read about a month in the scriptures. And it's the second month, which lets you know what? That there was a first month, which lets you know what? That months are established. You're dealing with the second month now. And on the 17th day of the month, these waters came upon the earth. And how long did he reign upon the earth? 40 days and 40 nights, which happens to represent judgment. But Noah, he understood this time. But do we understand this time? Go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. As it said in Ecclesiastes, whoso keeps the commandment will feel no evil thing. And a wise man discerneth time and judgment. But it said that there's time and judgment to every purpose. Yet the misery of man is great, for he knoweth not that which is to come. For who can tell him? Why? Because he doesn't know time and judgment. He doesn't consider the operation of Yah's hands. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first verse, it reads, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe and Aharon, Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, he didn't say this moon. See, he didn't have to explain to him the difference. He let him know this month. Even though the heathens have utilized this word month and traced it and made it become from moon, yes, the heathens make the word month come from moon because the heathens associated a month with the moon. You cannot accept what the heathens teach you, at least without understanding what they're saying. The heathens extract the word month from moon because the heathens are the ones that use the moon for their months. The Creator used the word Kodesh. The heathens use the word month. The word Kodesh has nothing to do with the word Yireach, which is a Hebrew word for moon. You don't see those words correlating. They're not synonyms, homonyms, or anything that makes them similar. Yireach is a light. Kodesh is a measurement of days. And the Creator said, this month shall be unto you the beginning, the chief, the head of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Yahweh is about to save the children of Israel. And now he is letting the messenger that shall teach them the words of the Creator what time it is. And you know Moses had to be a wise man. And Aaron had to be a wise man because they didn't say, excuse me, Yah Most High. So you want us to call this moon the beginning of the year? They knew exactly what the Creator was talking about. He says, speak you to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month. And why doesn't it say the 10th day of this moon? It doesn't say the 10th day of this moon because Yahweh did not give the moon to rule over the day. Yahweh gave the moon to rule over the night. Therefore, you don't see Yahweh using moon, Yireah, or moon, or Levan, for days. Therefore, nights. So on the 10th day of this month, shall you take every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household is too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. See, you got to know time. To every purpose, there's time and judgment. And you got to know it. It's very important that we know these things. While we're arguing and debating and challenging people on what they don't know, but do you know what is a lamb of the first year? How many months is that? How many months is a lamb of the first year? Well, obviously, if you follow the moon, your lamb of the first year won't be 354 days old. Because you follow the moon, your year on average has 354 days, which means that's not a year, and the Almighty wouldn't accept it. Now, of course, if you kept a 13th month, your lamb would be a year. But you see, it would be a year because a year is 12 months. It wouldn't be a year in 2 years. It wouldn't turn two as soon as it turned one. It would be a year, and it would have 12 more months to complete itself, so it could be another year. So you need a lamb of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Now, how are you going to know it's the 14th day? Do you need to look at the moon to know it's the 14th day? Because if you need to look at the moon to know it's the 14th day, you're going to let a whole day where the sun rises, you're going to let this sun go from morning to zohar or midday, afternoon, evening, and then you're going to say, oh, it's the 14th day. But that's not what the Creator said. He said, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And what evening would you do that if you started your day at night? You would obviously have to do it the next day, which would actually be the 15th. Which means you don't know time. And that means you couldn't even know judgment. But Yahweh didn't have to give us crash courses on when this was, because Yahweh knew who he was talking to. He was talking to Moses and Aaron, wise men that was able to discern time and judgment, that knew that this was what Yahweh is saying that it is. And you see, the process of the Passover lamb saved you from the evil that Yahweh brought upon the earth in Egypt. If you put the lamb, if you did everything Yahweh said, you were saved from his angel of death that came and took the breath of all the firstborn of Egypt. But they had to know time. They had to understand this because Yahweh was bringing judgment on the earth. But if you don't know it, or if you reject it, then you're not going to be saved. Again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it said in verse 5, whoever keeps the commandments shall feel no evil thing. And that's what I'm showing you. Noah didn't feel the evil of the 40 days and 40 nights of the earth being flooded. He didn't die. His sons didn't die. His wife didn't die. His daughters-in-laws did not die. They all were saved. And Noah understood this time. Moses and Aaron were able to teach the children of Israel what Yahweh said because they understood the time and the judgment. And the people were saved from this death angel taking all the life of the firstborn of Egypt. But if you don't, look what it says. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because to every purpose, there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Yeah, there's a purpose to every. There's a time and judgment to every purpose. And are we going to recognize this so we can understand what it is we should do? If you don't recognize it, then you're going to have a great trouble in understanding what to do in the time of judgment. Again, if you look in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and before we go there, go to Daniel, the 9th chapter. In the first verse. Verse 1 reads, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. See, yeah. You see, Daniel said he understood the book by books, the number of years. He understood time. Therefore, he was able to understand judgment. He said, this time is at hand. And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Meaning he knew what to do. Like all the other wise men knew what to do in this time where the judgment was at hand. Noah listened to Yah. Moses listened to Yah. Daniel sought Yah. He hearkened to the Most High. So what are we doing in the time of judgment? How do we know that we're in a time of judgment today? Well, if you listen to everyone else that does not speak the words of Yah faithfully and that want to tell you other things, for instance, today, the Jewish religion is celebrating what they call Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. What is this thing? Rosh Hashanah. The word Rosh Hashanah or Rosh in Hebrew means head. Hashanah means the year. Head of the year. Or chief of the year, beginning of the year. That's what Rosh is. Just like in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse, the Hebrew says Barashit, meaning it's a form of Rosh, Barashit, the beginning. Rosh is beginning. Now, how is this the beginning of the year? How is this the head of the year? That doesn't make any sense. But if you follow the Jewish religion, they'll have you celebrating the head of the year, the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. They'll call this time the beginning of the civil year. Because they know that the scriptures do not speak of the head of the year as being in the seventh month. For instance, we just read in Exodus, the 12th chapter, we just read this in Exodus 12, in verse 2 reads, this month shall be the beginning of months. And you know what that word beginning is? Rosh. Resh. This month shall be the head of months. This shall be the first. And you know what that word first is? Rishon. First month unto you. Meaning what? Meaning, this month, if the Jewish man is right, this is the month that would be called the seventh month. In this month, the seventh month, if the Jewish man is right, would be the time in which we came out of Egypt. Let's see if he's right in the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Let's see if Yahweh called this the seventh month. We already see he called it the first month. How can the first month become the seventh month? Well, it can't. That would mean you have confusion, which means, and which is the reason the Jewish man tells you that this is what they call the beginning of the civil year. You don't see the word civil and year in the scriptures. Civil year, not a sentence, not a phrase, not a grouping of words you'll see. But in Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, the first verse, it reads, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover unto Yahweh your Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, Yahweh your Elohim brought you forth out of Egypt by night, which means Abib is the month where you observe the Passover. Abib is the only month Yahweh gave a name to. Abib is the first month, not the seventh month. Abib is in the beginning of the year and not the end of the year. So the Jewish man is incorrect. The Jewish man also is the one that told you that the month that you should observe is a moon. The Jewish man is incorrect. Yahweh didn't say these things. If you want to know what time you're in, why don't you ask the Creator? Why don't you seek Yahweh out of his book and read and see what he told you the time is? For instance, we have a lot of people believing that this is just another election year. This is just another year to choose your electoral officers, your elected officials. But this is not just another year. This year is the year where Yahweh has brought judgment upon the world. That's the time that it is. But what will they tell you? That this is just another year. What other year you know like this one? When judgment has been brought on the world. Where the world is in a tailspin of calamity. There's no other year like it. And you believe that this year is going to end like the rest of them? You believe that everybody is going to get a refreshing breath when they pick their elected official and kick out the ones that they believe hasn't been doing well for them? No, that's not this time. Let me show you what time this is in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verse 5 reads, "But thus saith Yahweh, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear and not peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man does labor with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in labor, and all faces are turned to paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." You're in a time of Jacob's trouble. You're in a time where a racist attorney general of the United States has the audacity to go on live television and compare lockdowns for quarantine to slavery, yet speak ill of movements that are attempting to liberate the slaves. He has no sense in discernment of what is going on. Your elected officials and the people you choose, that you think you choose, to be over you aren't executing judgment in your communities. How in the world is it that a woman gets murdered in her own home and the police department responsible for it is trying to pay the family off? Bump paying the family off. Bring justice to them. But they won't. Why is it that these civil rights attorneys are representing multiple people for the same atrocity committed on their client's family? because you're in a time of Jacob's trouble. 1,000+ people are dying every day in this country, and the majority of them are what they call minorities. It has already been proven and been reported that the people most affected by the coronavirus is your people, the Hebrew people, what they call the African Americans. And so don't look at 1,000 people dying daily as, oh, those are just some rich people that go on cruise ships, that fly internationally, or just some rich folks somewhere. No, these are your people being afflicted with this pandemic. 1,000 a day. The majority of people that lost their jobs, your people. The majority of people that's being victims of crimes because of this thing, your people. The majority of people that's being oppressed by the police and the government, your people. All in the same year. Is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve Yahweh the Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So how do you get saved in this time? Surely not by following the Jewish man, because the Jewish man can't tell you what time it is. Surely not by following the Christian, because he can't tell you what time it is. Yahweh said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of Yahweh the Elohim. And you got Christians worshiping on a Sunday, the first day of the week. Surely it can't be the Muslim, for they worship on the sixth day of the week. None of these people could tell you what time it is. And some of our very own people begin their Sabbath and keep their time when the Jewish man does. Surely we cannot follow these things and believe that wisdom is with us and that salvation should be near us. Not when we don't hear the word of the Creator. So what did the Almighty want you to know about time today? He wants you to know that it is time to follow him in his judgments. That's the time that it is. If you don't follow him and do his judgments, then why would you even look for salvation? Because it won't come near unto you. For instance, in the book of Isaiah, the 10th chapter, it says in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again rely upon him that smote them, but shall rely upon Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. So, why would you in this time, when Yahweh has taken away the strength and the power of your enemies, they don't have any power left. They don't have any strength left. They're kicking the can down the road, just trying to figure out what to do. They have no power left. Why would you rely on your enemies? Their money, their bank systems. Why would you rely on their education? Why would you rely on their doctrines? It hasn't gotten them nowhere. They do not have a solution for not only the common cold, which in their terms, a common cold is a coronavirus. They haven't been able to cure a common cold all this time. And now here comes a deadly cold. A new coronavirus that is taking the people's life. They couldn't cure the cold that everybody just gets, and they definitely ain't going to find no cure for this thing. Yet, you're going to rely on their medical system. There's been many people that have said, man, I reversed my diabetes. I beat this cancer. I did it by changing the way I eat, my lifestyle. Yet many will go to a doctor in order to be saved, and there is now no salvation there. Why are you going to rely on them? Oh, every time you rely on them for what you need, they end up duping you. You need a car, and you end up paying double the price for this car. They ain't even paid this price to make this car. And you getting duped. You getting sold and had. This ain't the time to rely on them. They don't have no power left. There's no steam in their engine. They're running off fumes. Yahweh has surrounded this world with his four sore judgments. Yahweh has afflicted the far, what they call east, with floods and typhoons that they call them. In what you call the Middle East or East Africa, swarms of locusts. In the far north, floods. In the west, fires, whirlwinds, pestilence. The whole world is surrounded by Yahweh's judgments. But you say we're not in a time of judgment? Look what the Creator said in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. The 13th verse. It says, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. So this nation, Babylon, is under judgment. And Yahweh will surely bring this thing to a conclusion. He's going to let these judgments fold this nation. And afterward, you'll come out with great substance. So what we should be waiting for right now, if we understood this time, we would just be waiting patiently for Yahweh. We wouldn't get caught up in things. For instance, look in the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. That's why the wise man, that's why the one that keeps the commandment, they don't feel the evil. Because the wise are able to discern between time and judgment. And if you had wisdom of Yah today, the evil, you wouldn't be frantic, panicking, anxious, uneasy about this evil in the earth. You would know this is the hand of Yah. You would know that this is the time Yah said he would judge. And if you kept the commandment, you would be sure that you will be okay. And what you wouldn't be caught up in is this. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, it says in verse 8 or verse 7, two things have I required of thee, Deny me them not before I die. Remove me far from me vanity and lies. Get this vanity away from me. Yahweh is judging the world because Babylon has taken hold on the world, so the Most High got to judge it. And this judgment is from Yah. And he's doing it to bring you out of your captivity, to bring you out of the nation that has held you. That is to the end. That is to what end this is for. The ones that have held you, it is their turn to be judged. But Yahweh said he will not leave you altogether unpunished. He will correct us in measure. So since we're being corrected, the world is being judged, what do you have to do with vanity? What should we be caught up in the time of judgment? Well, I'll show you. It's in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. In Malachi, the third chapter, verse 7 reads, even from the days of your fathers have you gone away forth from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's letting you know, this is how you return to him. And in this time, where is your offering to the Creator? Where is your tithes to the Almighty? Where are your vows that you made in the time of trouble for yourself? Yahweh said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Improve me now herewith, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So how else are you going to get delivered in this time? By concerning yourself with your vanity, with your hang-ups, or concerning yourself with Yahweh's house? If there's a sanctuary in your midst where the work of Yahweh is being done, if you can't be there, what are you sending there? If you are able to be there, what are you doing not being there and you waiting for Yah, but you not waiting in the place where he said, bring your offering? You got an offering for the Most High, bring it to his sanctuary. Because in Yah's sanctuary is Yah's servants. And Yah's servants will deal these offerings, these tithes. They will do this work to make sure those and the things that is necessary for Yah's praises goes forth. Yahweh wants order done. Yahweh wants you to use wisdom. He wants you to see that his word is sure. Your vanities is not what you should be caught up in the time of judgment. You didn't see Noah ask Yahweh, "Well, what about I was about to build me a new shed for my sheep?" You didn't see Moses tell Yahweh, "You know, I can't go and deliver the children of Israel because I gotta go and herd these sheep." You didn't see Daniel say, "Well, I don't want it to be 70 years because I got a cushy job as the top officer in the king's house." No. Their vanities weren't the things that they was caught up in. Yeah, what are we doing in the time of judgment? Vanity. Myriad of vanity. That's not what Yahweh told you to do in this time. You want to return unto him, then bring forth his tithes, bring forth his offering. But will you even understand that if you don't discern this time? If you don't keep the commandment? Keeping the commandment is the whole battle. You don't even got to be smart to keep Yahweh's commandment. You can just be like a robot. What Yahweh say do? Okay, I'm going to do that. What do Yahweh say do? All right, I'm going to do that. You can keep the commandment. You'll be keeping the right holy day. You'll be following the right message. You'll be walking with the right people just because you kept the commandment. For instance, let me see if I can show you this proverb before we close out. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. I don't want to guess. In the book of Proverbs 13. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." See, if you keep the commandment, you'll walk with wise men. Because the commandment tells you to not put your hand with the wicked. Do not raise a false report. Do not sit in the house with scorners. So you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. You don't even have to be smart. Just keep the commandment. You don't have to be the sharpest tack in the bag. Just keep the commandment and you'll be wise. And that wisdom will safeguard you. Because you'll see these times and you'll see, oh, the wise men are working in Yah's house. Let me go work in Yah's house. The wise men are feeding the poor. Let me go feed the poor. Where are the wise? And let me go be with them. But why? Why be with the fools? Why contend with the wicked? Why contend with the foolish? That's vanity. And in this time of this judgment, where are we? We should be where Yahweh wants us to be. And that is with our mind stayed on him, seeking him and walking with him, waiting for him. Because he said, afterward, we'll come out. And that's what we should be waiting for. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Yeah, 39 books. Yeah, come on. Yo, keep me out the
book to Yah and read. Speak these words to plant your holy seed. Obey his voice, know him and believe. Understand his Yah is none but he. In the beginning, he told us the ending that we wasn't winning because of the sin and the 400 centuries. He shot us defending. He's a repentant, and this is our genesis. So I ask you this single digit. Learn from the second myth. So we can number our days. The teachers that we were the slaves. The Deuteronomy, you only gave the most popular. When he anointed Joshua, it's proving that Yah loves us by sending his judges, rejecting the grudge, embracing the truth of the nations of truth. It's shown for proof the woman that David come through. Teach Samuel 1:8-2. Yah's chosen the king, and you want to. Recognition chronicles in the first and the second. And Ezra Hakohen, back by the river Ahava, stood with Nehemiah in the time of Hadassah, better known as Esther. Show struck with disease and boils at Texas. And we giving our arms while singing Hebrew songs. The most wise words spoken in Proverbs. The collect, the teacher, Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Fellas want to reach us. Quote the song belong to style of Amar. Understand the way that Amar, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Jerusalem fell. Also seen by Ezekiel. Vision, vividly given to Daniel. God said to turn to him in prayer. Remember Hosea. If we call on Yahweh, he'll remember as well. Spoken by Yoel. There's no other book as famous. The words get deeper and aimed for the Gaia, Yonah, and Messiah. There's none like Yah that rides on the whirlwind in Nehemiah. I'm giving you a look like he gave a Habakkuk. Gather yourselves and learn from Zephaniah. The city of waves, word up to Hodiah. Cause this is the last days and men Zechariah. Remember the law of Moshe. And this has been 39 books given to you by Isha. Mela.